This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. She is getting ready to exit as president and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation and Cubish in this afternoon. And in fact, have you officially already exited?
Yes, I have. My successor, Kara Carlisle, took over the Tuesday after Labor Day, Tuesday, September 5th.
Because I noticed when I sent you an email an hour or so ago that I got a reply from you, but I also got the I've already retired, and I'm like, oh, I didn't.
Well, this is a little bit of a transition. I'm going to stay on for a little while just to help with the transition, but I'm not going into the office. She's running the foundation now.
Well, and there's something to be said. I've seen this with other organizations to have some kind of transitional period where the new person takes over, but the other person is still around or available or working to some extent, and it just seems to be smoother.
Well, and I think, I mean, I would just want to say Kara Carlisle is perfectly equipped to take over this foundation. She really is. But our board asked me to stay on for a little while just in case she has questions to answer that she needs answering and some history that I have that nobody else probably has. So I'm trying to stay out of her hair, though. She's doing a great job already.
So you were the second president and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation, and I'm curious what got you interested in the job when it came available.
Well, first, it really was the mission of the foundation, which is to ensure that children have the family, educational, and community supports they need to thrive. And that's really been my work my whole life. I've just done it in lots of different venues. I've done it internationally in Latin America and Africa. I've done it nationally in big urban areas. And I was looking for a place that had that kind of a commitment to a particular place. I had not worked in rural areas before, so I was intrigued by that. And then the other thing is that this foundation, the Ford Family Foundation, has a commitment to what's called community building. And that's quite unusual for foundations. It's really about investing in community leadership, community capacity for people to come together and take in common cause to think about the future of their community and work to implement great plans. And that is a really unusual role for foundations and for philanthropy, but yet it's a really powerful one. And so when I learned that there was this department called community building, it spoke to my heart. And so that's why I wanted to come check it out.
So you came here, though, from Manhattan. And I spent 4 days in Manhattan a long time ago. And what I remember is that it's vastly different than rural Southern Oregon. What was that transition like?
Well, you're absolutely right. It is a huge difference. I had been living in big cities my whole life. I lived in around the world. My father was in the State Department, so I grew up as the daughter of a diplomat. And then when I worked, when I joined the workforce and was working on poverty reduction, community development, and so on, I was doing it internationally. So I've lived in huge cities. I've lived in New York City. I've lived in Mexico City. I've lived in Lagos, Nigeria. And the thought of living in a small rural community just appealed so much to me. I think I'd had it with big cities. I needed a change. I'd never been able to afford to own a home, for example. And so when I moved here, I bought my first home that I'd ever bought in my life. I have an outdoor life. I have a vegetable garden. The weather is great. And so I really felt like I was ready for that kind of change. But the other thing I wanted to say that I found here that I had never found in my life was a real sense of community. Because I moved so much, I had never had a place to call home. I didn't have a feeling like I was part of a community. And I have to say that in the 10 years that I've been here, Kyle, the welcome that I have gotten from everybody in Roseburg and in Douglas County and across rural Oregon has been so phenomenal. I really feel like it is my home now. And it was a big transition, but a really welcome one.
And I remember probably my second interview with you, and it wasn't the first one, so probably the second one. And you were just so fascinated with the fact that animals grazed in fields. because this was not like part of the Manhattan experience that you know we're used to seeing.
I still am so amazed when I drive up I-5 to Portland that I see cows and sheep along the side of a highway. It still amazes me, even 10 years later.
I remember that from that interview, because I've always lived in Oregon, but I've lived all over Oregon, including Portland. So I've seen different parts of things, and I thought, what? You've never? Oh, my goodness. But Manhattan is very different. And, you know, you mentioned home ownership. From people that I know that work in Manhattan now, they all live somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because it's quite hard to do that. Now, yeah. Let's talk about the foundation when you arrived. What was your assessment of it once you, dug in and started?
Well, so as you said, I was the second president and CEO of the foundation. Norm Smith, my predecessor, had started in 1997 and was the first president for 16 years until I arrived in 2013. And Norm was amazing because he really built this foundation from scratch. He often talks about how when he started, it was just an aluminum desk in a back office of Roseburg Forest Products in Dillard. And he really built up all of the systems. He got the building built. You all know that beautiful building on Stewart Parkway. He started our programs. He did all of our sort of financial systems and operating systems. And so when I got here, this was a really strong organization that was really in great shape. And I had the privilege of stepping in as the second president into an organization that was really functioning very well and just begin to dream about what more the foundation could do and how to help it grow and have greater impact. And so I walked into a highly effective organization and was able to just work with it and make it grow and make it bigger.
How has it grown in the past decade?
Well, so when I arrived, the endowment was about $700 million, and that's through gifts from Kenneth Ford and Hallie Ford and through careful investments on the part of our investment committee. It's now $1.1 billion, and that's really been as a result of the great investments that our board has made. And what is that? What that means is that we will be distributing this year, the Ford Family Foundation will be distributing about $55 million in charitable distributions in grants, scholarships, community building work. To do that work and to grow in that way, we've also about doubled our staff. So there's about 50 people who work for the staff for the organization now.
And you have a second office in Eugene now, right?
Yeah, the whole time I've been here, we've had an office in Eugene, and that's really to run our scholarship program. It's really focused on our post-secondary success. We also actually, one of the new things that we've developed over the last 10 years is that we have outstation staff who are doing community building work in the places where they have lived for a long time. So we have someone in Eastern Oregon, where we're soon to hire someone in Southeastern Oregon, one in Southern Oregon, one on the coast, someone in Siskiyou County, someone in Woodburn. So we have some outstation staff now whose job it is to really work with their local communities around community building work.
And as the pandemic showed us, you don't always have to be in the office to be getting the work done. And if you've got people that are already very familiar and have all the institutional knowledge about those areas, it makes sense you'd want to keep them there instead of putting a lot of miles on vehicles.
That's exactly right. Because when we can hire somebody who really knows, already has relationships in their community and already has the social capital built to be able to bring people together and work together, that's gold. That is more valuable than any single grant could really be. It's because so much about building rural communities is about making sure that people collaborate, work together, come together, because there are not a lot of resources that go into rural communities. And so, therefore, everybody's got to pitch in and roll up their sleeves together.
Now, you mentioned the staff growing. What kind of numbers do you have now, staff-wise?
Well, so we're at 50 now. We're at 50, and about 33, I think, are in the Roseburg office. About 6 or 7 are outstation, and about 12 are in the Eugene office.
And as you looked around as you began, how did you determine what programs you wanted to add?
Well, so I would say that the biggest change that we've gone through has been there's terminology in philanthropy that talks about responsive grant making versus strategic grant making. Now, responsive grant making is something that our foundation has always done and will continue to do, which is where organizations and communities can contact us and say, this is something that we need some funding for to work on, and can you give us some funding to do that? And we always want to hear from organizations and communities about what their priorities are. But what we've added over the course of the last 10 years is more strategic grant making, meaning that our board has said, we have a priority that is on early child development. We want to ensure that kids in their first 3 years of life, in those first 1,000 days, have the strongest supports they can possibly get to build that foundation for a successful life. And they have asked us as the staff to go out and find ways for us to build the infrastructure of early child development in rural areas, to help make sure that there are, that the state is understanding what's happening in rural areas and leveraging state dollars for better investments. So what I would say the biggest change has been this addition of more strategic grant making around particular outcomes that our board has defined that they want the foundation to work on.
And I imagine that, you know, when you talk about the state, that you had to spend a lot of time building relationships with state officials and sort of raising a rural Oregon flag, if you will.
That's exactly right. And I think one of the things that has changed and that the foundation has stepped into and will be doing much more of in the future is to raise up the voices of rural people and ensure that this state pays attention to rural people, places, and issues. And I think our board is really proud that the foundation is widely considered to be a trusted and legitimate advocate for rural places. And the board intends to do a lot more about that in the future. You may not know that across the country, fewer than 5% of philanthropic resources are devoted to rural issues. And so we're quite unique in that we have that as our mission. And there's a lot of things that we've started to do to address that. Just today, our Oregon by the Numbers, which is the annual indicator report that we put out that gives indicators of well-being in each of the 36 counties, comes out today. And that's really a way where we, again, can advocate for rural places, because otherwise data about rural areas is just weak and very few people have it in their hands. But people, please, I encourage everyone to go on our website and get the 2023 version of Oregon by the Numbers.
All right, and we're going to talk about that in an upcoming edition of Inside Douglas County as well. Back with more in a moment. Ann Kubisch, outgoing president and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. From News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1 tomorrow. Another back-to-school interview. Joe LaFontaine, the new superintendent of Dace Creek Charter School, will be on Inside Douglas County. Ann Kubisch, outgoing president and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation, in here this afternoon. What would you say some of your proudest accomplishments are helping rural Oregon in the past 10 years?
Oh, there's so many, but thank you for asking. So I think one of the things that we're most known for is, of course, our scholarship program. And over the course of the history of the foundation, 6,800 people who would not otherwise have gone to college have gone to college. And those are promising high school students, single moms, children of immigrants. That's one thing. We have a really great partnership that I'll talk about in Young College, just up the road from us. We started working with the principal of and the superintendent of the Young College School 10 years ago to try and improve kindergarten readiness and promote early childhood development in Young College. And there's been this fabulous partnership where there's now a state-of-the-art pre-K classroom that's oversubscribed, a Head Start, early Head Start, special education. There's a rigorous evaluation of how the kids are doing compared to what they were doing 10 years ago, and they are scoring and doing above the statewide average on social, emotional, and academic assessments. And that change in the school has really led to a change throughout the community. And there's a great video on the Ford Family Foundation website about it, and this wonderful special book that I just can't recommend enough. The Young College preschool children created a children's bill of rights, the right to play, the right to be educated, the right to have fun. And it's a beautiful photograph book that it has their voice, and I just recommend that everybody get that through our Select Books program. And then there are some other sort of just special things that we did that other people wouldn't do. So, for example, our board became very concerned about child sexual abuse. And now 35,000 people in Oregon have been trained in how to prevent child sexual abuse, including youth workers, church leaders, coaches, and so on. So there is just we've had such a long reach now for a really long time.
So I reached out to Norm Smith this morning and asked about some of his thoughts. I think he would have done his own, you know, his own separate radio interview talking about you from the response I got. And I'll just read part of this.
Oh.
He said, Anne has done a spectacular job as leader of the Ford Family Foundation, honoring the past and planning for a very long future. She balanced her family's needs over a great distance, and they were great supporters of her role and of the foundation. If the foundation had reached its adolescence at the end of my 16 years, Anne was able to nurture its growth and effectiveness to a new level of maturity. She made a positive transition with staff and especially the board, originally all handpicked by Kenneth Ford. Anne began her work with a new board chair and later led the growing staff and additional programs during the third chair's assumption of duties. And that chair, a former Ford scholar from the first class who knew Kenneth Ford, is Toby Luther, Roseburg and Lone Rock Resources. He also says Anne and Toby changed the paradigm for the foundation's philanthropy. Now, I'm supposed to ask you about something called the flip.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you to Norm for those beautiful words. And I couldn't have done it, as I say, if Norm hadn't set up a really strong organization. Yeah, so early on when I arrived, the organization was strong. And the board said to me, how is it that we can have more impact? We've been doing a lot of good work, a lot of good grant making, but how do we have more impact? And so we did some organizational restructuring that we call the flip, which was that we turned the organization on its side. And we said that all of the resources that we had needed to be in service of the outcomes that we were trying to achieve. And so that was one big organizational change that happened early on. And then last year, the board adopted a new 10-year strategic plan. And so during COVID, actually, the board and the staff worked together on a new 10-year strategic plan for the foundation, which really is focusing on how we ensure that kids have the family, educational, and community supports they need to thrive. And that's a commitment that the board and staff worked on so well together that I am sure it is that there's institution-wide commitment to it.
Well, and Norm also said the new model, as you've talked about, is better, more strategic philanthropy, but it was a heavy lift to make the change, both in understanding and in practice.
The fact that Norm Smith said those words just means everything to me. I'm grateful that you reached out to him, and I thank you, Norm, for those kind words.
So how did you juggle your cross-country family situation over the past decade?
Well, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't easy. So my husband is a professor at the State University of New York, and so when I moved here, we agreed that we were going to live bicoastally. And he comes to Oregon whenever he's not teaching. So he's here all summer long, and he's here for a month in the wintertime. And fortunately, actually, during COVID, he was here the whole time. So that was great. But otherwise, we've done a lot of back and forth travel across the country. And that's been hard. Fortunately, our kids were in college by the time I took this job. And that was one of the things that liberated us to be able to think about something like this. But the thing that's ended up happening is that my husband and I have both fallen in love with Oregon, and we like our lives in New York, too. So for the foreseeable future, we're actually, believe it or not, going to continue some cross-country travel and some bi-coastal living because we want to stay here. I love it here. And he's still working at the State University of New York, and he's not planning to retire anytime soon.
Wow. So I guess we sold you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As I say, I really feel like I found a home here and a community.
So what's next for you, though?
So for right now, I'm just taking a break and taking it easy. I'm not there. I've been contacted by a few people for sitting on boards and doing consulting. And the best advice I've gotten, I think, is from people who said, say no to everything for a year and then figure out what you want to do. But what I have done, this is something I've wanted to do for a long time. I've enrolled in some music classes at UCC, and I'm starting as a UCC student on Monday in some music theory and some aural skills.
Is that going to be a little daunting for Jason Heald or someone to have you walk in and sit down?
Oh, are you kidding? I'm a terrible musician. I'm a total beginner. Are you kidding? I need all the help I can get.
So tell us in 30 seconds about your successor.
So her name is Kara Carlisle. She moved here from Minnesota. She has already worked in two foundations, the Kellogg Foundation and the McKnight Foundation. But she's a very special person. She's a very deeply reflective person. She's very intuitively a community builder. But she has a master's in divinity, so she's very sort of reflective and has, a strong spiritual base. I don't want to speak for her. I actually should be careful that I haven't asked her if that's true. But she obviously brings this deep wisdom to her work. But she also has an MBA, a master's in business administration, so she has the practical skills. And it's just a wonderful combination. And she's a great cultural fit for both the organization and for Douglas County and Oregon.
All right. Ann Kubisch, outgoing president and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation. Well, it sounds like maybe we'll be talking to you again. Maybe we'll have you in as a guest musician.
Thank you for inviting me, Kyle. I've loved every time we've talked together here. I really appreciate the invitations.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.